This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. An impeachment trial looms over the U.S. Senate as it relates to President Donald J. Trump. So where does Ohio Republican Senator Rob Portman stand on the issue now? He joined me on the phone earlier to talk about it. Senator Rob Portman, thanks so much for joining us today.
Michael, thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. It's our pleasure. I'm curious, from your vantage point, where does the state of the impeachment trial in the U.S. Senate stand right now?
Well, my thinking is that the House of Representatives is finally going to send it over to us tomorrow, maybe the next day, and then I would assume the Senate will get right on it. And probably that means, you know, that we'll be sitting in an impeachment trial from, they say, around, you know, lunchtime until 6 p.m. every day, 6 days a week. And hearing the cases from both sides. So the House managers will be presenting the case for impeachment, and then the president's legal team will be presenting the case against it, and we'll be there listening.
You were quoted in Talking Points memo as saying that there should be an opportunity for both sides to be heard, as you just referenced, but there has been some chatter about whether the trial could be dismissed quickly. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, there is talk about that, and you know, there's been a debate over this, whether there should be a motion to dismiss, and that would only take 51 senators to support it. There are 54 Republicans, I believe. So, you know, that could happen. I'm not for that. I think there ought to be an opportunity for opening statements to be heard on both sides, and, you know, for members of the Senate to be able to ask questions and get answers to those questions.
If there were some sort of vote to dismiss, would you vote to oppose?
Yeah, I would. I would. And I, you know, we'll see what happens. That might well happen. It might be, though, that because those who might want to go that route see that there aren't the votes, that they choose not to offer the motion. So we'll see.
What about the calling of witnesses then? This is something you support?
Well, I support what we're, I think, going to embark on here, which is the Clinton model, going back to, I guess, 1998, where you go in phase one through a process of listening to both sides, and senators having the opportunity to ask questions and get answers to those questions. And then you make a decision on whether you need any supplemental information or not. You know, the case has been made in the House. That's what that was about. And, you know, they had lots of witnesses, as you know, and lots of depositions, and that will all be available. And we'll see whether additional supplemental information is necessary.
You were in a unique position in that. You were a member of the House then during the Clinton impeachment, correct?
That's correct.
And so you have this vantage point that's unique among just a few of you who are in the Congress, though you were in the lower chamber at that time. What can you tell us just about the general flow of things in Washington right now with this impeachment trial looming? Does it feel similar to 1998, or is it different in some way?
Well, I guess. I mean, in that case, you know, there wasn't much bipartisanship, but there was some. In other words, in this case, not a single Republican supported impeachment. In the other instance, there were Democrats and Republicans who both supported it. And also, in the case of President Clinton, the Senate put out rules that were passed by 100 votes. So the bipartisan process that guided the impeachment trial over here was, you know, nobody voted against it. And whereas this time that same process seems to be controversial. And so it's unlikely you'll see a, you know, a strong bipartisan vote like that. Certainly not 100-0 and maybe not even, you know, a 2/3 vote. So it's a more partisan atmosphere now, I suppose. The other thing I would say is that we've got a lot of other things to do. And I suppose that's always true. But right now, you know, we're trying to get the U.S. MCA, which is the new agreement with Canada and Mexico, done. It actually has passed the House already, but impeachment could push that back, because once you get into impeachment, Michael, you're not supposed to do any other legislating. I'm trying very hard to get a drug bill done. As you know, fentanyl is this synthetic opioid that has just devastated Ohio and Cincinnati, and it has to be rescheduled, in other words, continued to be illegal by February 6th, as an example, and that's something I've got legislation on that I'm trying to get passed. So there are a number of things we should be doing and could be doing. There's a highway bill that's pending. So my hope is that, you know, we find a way through this. We, you know, have a fair process that people listen and use their best judgment, but that we also are reminded that, you know, we have other work to do that needs to get done.
And Senator, you introduced that Fight Fentanyl Act with a Democratic member of the Senate, Joe Manchin of West Virginia. You also worked with a Democratic senator from Colorado, Michael Bennett, on a piece of legislation recently that's related to what you call the eviction crisis. We've got just about a minute left, and I'm just wondering what you see as the eviction crisis and what that legislation might be able to accomplish.
Yeah, we've got a number of bipartisan initiatives, but an important one is this Eviction Crisis Act. And this is a situation where more and more people are being evicted from their apartments. Their landlords and tenants are both interested in how do you resolve this issue. Often it's not somebody who has been perennially missing payments. It's somebody who falls on hard times. Maybe loses a job, doesn't have $200, $300, $400 to be able to pay the rent, and ends up getting evicted. So our thought is, one, let's get better data on this, understand what's going on, because it's increasing, and, you know, why is it increasing? But second, provide the ability for people to have some more housing stability by having a fund. This will be a local, not a federal government exercise, but the federal government would encourage it. And these funds would be available there on an emergency basis to avoid the high cost of eviction. We think it could make a big difference, and it's broadly supported by groups around the country, including some great groups in Cincinnati, Bethany House, Caracol, and LISC, our local initiative support corporation. So it's a way to deal with a real crisis we're facing right now.
Senator Rob Portman, a Republican from Ohio, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Michael. Always good to talk. Take care.
Thanks. And that was Senator Rob Portman talking to me just a few minutes before the show started today. Up next, we'll talk about the Secure Act and how it could change your retirement plan. And we'll also have, coming up later today, a look at the new FBI hate crime statistics as they were counted in Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Elise Meckler. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Subscribe to our podcast at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.